Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to singer and TV producer Nikki Gilbert about her new passion project, Social Conflict. Philadelphia songstress Lady Alma is back and talks Aretha Franklin, house music, and more. I'll also share my red carpet interviews from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, including my one-on-one with Tina Lifford from Queen Sugar. I'll also be playing music from Lady Alma and the late king of pop, Michael Jackson, who would have turned 60 years old this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Southern Casting Associates is seeking men and women ages 20 to 55 to portray politicians and their families eating at a restaurant. Filming will take place the week of September 10th in East Point, Georgia. The men and women must have business attire. If this is you, please submit your name, age, phone number, and clothing sizes to submissions.sca@gmail.com with political dinner in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to singers Janet Jackson and Mary J. Blige and runway diva Naomi Campbell. The three of them were honored recently during the taping of Black Girls Rock. The show was hosted by Oscar-nominated actress Queen Latifah and celebrates the accomplishments of Black women. Other honorees included screenwriter Lena Waithe, dance legend Judith Jameson, and Me Too founder Tarana J. Burke. Black Girls Rock airs on Sunday, September 9th on BET. Also, watch the new season 3 trailer for Fox's dramatic series Star at WCLK.com. The show, which chronicles the rise of a girl group in Atlanta, returns to prime time beginning September 26th at 9 p.m. The show stars Queen Latifah, Brandy, Evan Ross, and others. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
You can't win. You can't make even, and you can't get out of the game. People keep saying things are gonna change, but they look just like they're staying the same. You get in way over your head, and you only got yourself to blame. You can win.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
The Bronze Lens Film Festival held its highly anticipated Women's Superstars Luncheon, and Upfront got a chance to chat with honoree and Queen Sugar star Tina Lifford. The celebrated actress received the coveted Vanguard Award for her career as an actress, activist, and motivational speaker. Check out this exclusive interview you won't hear anywhere else.
First of all, congratulations on receiving this award. When you found out, how did you feel?
I was honored. You know, it's really a reciprocal joy when an event as worthy as Bronze Lens reaches out to me. It's as much an honor for me to be here as it is, you know, they say, to have me. So that's a reciprocity that is just the way life should be.
Yeah. What do you enjoy the most about playing Aunt Vi? Because we all have an Aunt Vi in our lives. My mom's best friend is Miss Vi. So when I heard that name, I immediately knew what this character was going to be like. So what do you enjoy the most about playing her?
What I enjoy the absolute most is the opportunity that women, particularly middle-aged women, have to see themselves rendered in such a honorable, visionary way, and that belongs to Ava DuVernay. The fact that she wanted to celebrate and highlight women of this age, it's a beautiful thing. And I walk down the street, and women love Aunt Vi because they either see themselves as Aunt Vi, or there's an Aunt Vi in their lives that they love, or they want to be Aunt Vi. That's a pretty wonderful honor to carry.
Yeah. Now, what was one of the lessons or one of the things that helped you continue the journey? Because like I said, I had not seen you since South Central, but I know a lot of times when you're not in front of the camera, you're doing stage work or you're motivating others. But what was that thing that kept you going all these years?
Something inside, and I listened to my inside. Something inside just would not give up. I love acting. I love what we do. I love the potential of impact that this medium has. And if I had given up, I wouldn't have had this incredible opportunity called Aunt Vi. But I've been around. I have been a working actress for 30 years. That's pretty amazing. So, yeah, I feel blessed. But what kept me going is the hope and possibility that there was more for me to do.
Last question. You look amazing on the cover of Sheen magazine with Jay Boland, who keeps you looking. So let's talk about that, because you're like, I mean, everybody's like, look at Aunt Vi, get it. Yeah, I mean, you look amazing on Instagram.
Jay Boland and I came together at the end of season one, and it's been a partnership made in heaven. He gets me, and I get him, you know, and the best part is that I trust him implicitly, so we're willing to play and go for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Noted casting director Twinkie Bird also was excited about attending the Women Superstars Luncheon and talked briefly about her new film project, The Counter 1960.
My film is called The Counter 1960. It's my directorial debut. And it's about three woke students from 2018 who are propelled back in time to sit at the lunch counters at 1960. And the question is, will they be served? Because, you know, these young people think that they would be different in 1960. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have, you know, so let's see. Yeah, so that's my story. That's why I'm here. Bronze Lens had the courage to accept my film, select it, and to give me a platform. And I'm here, and I'm telling you the reception that we received for that film. It filled me. My pitcher was on low, and now I'm overflowing. And it gives me the encouragement to keep going. And I'm thankful. That's what I love about film festivals. That's what I love about Bronze Lens. And that is what I love about this luncheon. It fills you up to keep you going.
Filmmaker Muta Ali and actress Lisa Arendelle also discussed their film project, Turtle versus Octopus.
Well, it's kind of a new way of saying like men are from Mars, women are from Venus, things like that. We actually went to this workshop called Imago, and they discussed a lot about how we're programmed from our childhood, and some people are turtles, some people are octopuses. So when we're under duress, even as babies, some people just, you can't tell by looking at them, and other babies, they'll flail out and do everything they can to fix things, and like an octopus. But both, when they put heart monitors on these babies, they have the same readings of pressure and things going on inside of them. So as we grow up, we get into relationships, and even our parents, both of them might be opposites, where one clams up during pressure and maybe doesn't communicate, and the other one flails and tries to do everything they can to make it work. But that's conflict right there, and that's drama, you know, so like that's why we called it that.
Yes, and what we find too in life and in this workshop is that you can switch your position. Sometimes the octopus can turn into the turtle and vice versa, just because you're dealing with maybe someone who's a turtle and you say, oh, I can't be also quiet. I need to get them to talk to me. So we just want to, it's a romance that has problems, and we want to put on screen the conflict and the fact that in conflict, even then, there is beauty. Even then, there is something worthy in the relationship. And it actually, I don't know if you asked where Turtle versus Octopus, that title came from, but the actual story or the idea for our for putting this on screen came from Muta Ali. He just said, I have this idea, I'd love us to do some vignettes, and maybe if we can shoot, you know, somewhere between 4 and 8 minutes, moments that are interesting, funny, that are completely relatable, that our audience can get excited about, but also be intrigued. And so we started with Turtle versus Octopus, and our plan is to, you know, produce other little shorts as well. Yeah. Although this didn't end up being as little as we thought. This ended up being 18 minutes.
Thank you, Tina, Twinkie, Muta, and Lisa. Check out images from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, Women's Superstars Luncheon, and more at WCLK.com.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the 4th Annual Taste of Soul Atlanta Festival, Labor Day weekend, August 31st to September 2nd. This year's festival includes performances by Kelly Price, PJ Morton, Erica James, and 50 other artists. Other activities include a wine tasting and Sunday brunch concert by Chef Andrea Hall. More information is available at tasteofsoulatlanta.com.
You just heard the voice of Philadelphia singer and house music diva, Lady Alma. The in-demand vocalist will be in Atlanta this weekend for Labor Day festivities and talk to Upfront briefly about her new music projects and much more. Well, good morning, Lady Alma, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and I'm super excited because when I was asked, when Aaliyah asked me to do this interview, I was like, absolutely. I remember, so I'm going to take you back.
Okay.
I remember, I think it was maybe around 2004, maybe 2003, I was attending a funk jazz cafe and you were one of the featured artists. This was the year that, oh my God, it was so many surprises on that show. You were one of the surprises. I believe Karen Wheeler was a surprise.
Yes.
And Jill Scott was there and she
yes.
debuted Golden for the very first time. But you
yes.
were on stage. I had never heard of you, had never heard of your music. And, you know, Jason Orr, of course, is like, yo, you're going to, you know, you guys are going to love, you know, who we have coming up next. And you came out and bam, this amazing voice. I was like, who is this woman and where has she been all my life?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I've been aware and following your career since that time. And like I said, that had to be like maybe 2004. So you've always kind of had this love affair going on with Atlanta, from Philly to Atlanta. So welcome back.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that dearly. Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Now you've got some new music. Let's talk about this new project that you have.
Well, it's a few new projects actually that I have in the works. I did some things with a few people earlier in the year.
Okay.
Mr. Ralph, DJ Ralph Gum from Africa, and Miss Soul Channel, which is, you know, Mr. V's Collective.
Okay.
And I did three works, and they all came out like early part of the new year, so like January. Then I think something came out in March, and then the last thing with Ralph Gum, which was a time and a place that just not too long ago, I want to say about a month or two.
Right.
About a month and a half ago, it came out and it was entitled A Time and a Place. And the second work that I did that came out about March was entitled Glory and Honor. And then the project that I did with Soul Channel was Peace You'll Find.
Wow.
So
I have to ask you, what is the process like when you're putting, you know, because for us, those of us that are listening to the music, it's such amazing work. What is the process of you sitting down and putting a song together? How does Lady Alma put a song together?
Ooh, that's a good question. Usually there's always a connection first via the internet or email or whatever. And a lot of the producers will send me beats, and pretty much if I vibe with it, then the next phase is to sit with it. And if it's really, you know, if it's something that is under the gun as far as timing, I'll go into the session and I'll just begin to write. And I sometimes will start off with the chorus, and then sometimes I start off with the lead or the verses to then, you know, incorporate a chorus or vice versa. Yes, sir.
Now, that was a clip from your latest single, Let It Fall.
Yes.
And there's a sort of an inspirational story behind that that happened recently with a fan in South Africa. You want to tell that story?
Oh, my goodness, yes. His name is Nlaka, and the DJ, his name is General. It was the end of the evening, and this young man really was into it. He really got into it. And the funny part about this is that the song is literally 10 years old. And they just still continue to play it in South Africa and in Africa. And a lot of people like it. And to see this young man sing the lyrics word for word, hook, everything, ad-lib, it went viral. The DJ had videotaped it, and the next thing you know, it's viral, and the song is developing a new life.
Wow.
It was amazing how it happened, you know, and it's all about timing, too.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a chance to see a little bit of the clip, and you're absolutely right. I mean, he knew all of the words, and it was like, you know, everyone's dancing around him, and he was just in his own world. Wow. House music. What is that? What is that thing that we just so love about it? Because, you know, you mention house music and people are like, oh, my God, like, yes, I have a favorite song, or it always gets me moving. What do you think is that thing that makes people just want to get up and dance? Because when it comes on, it's just like an automatic bam. Everyone's on the dance floor.
Well, I really believe that, you know, not negating any music being healing, but house music is something that has a common stitch or common thread to connect young, old, black, white, fat, thin, gay, straight, with no apprehensions. You know, it's a feeling. It feels good. And I think when people hear the music from the beat or just the vocal itself, who knows what it actually is, but I believe that it has a common thread to bring so many people together, uninhibited. It could be anything, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Philadelphia, of course, is a city of just known for amazing music. I mean, you know, when you think of icons like Teddy Pendergrass, Patti LaBelle, Kenneth Gamble and Huff, I mean, all those guys just pretty much just, you know, put Philadelphia on the map. What was something that you pulled from them or incorporate in your sound as well?
Well, I think in Philadelphia, people tend to have an individual sound sometimes,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
And the influences from those before is to be able to see the hustle, the struggle, you know, how they put things together, you know, get a chance. If you get a chance to sit down and talk to some of, you know, the legends that Philadelphia has, you know, you tend to appreciate that time. And I've been able to talk to some of them and be in their company or see them at their craft. And being able to do that, I am able to take what I've learned from the greats and incorporate it into what I have.
Yeah. Wow. So Aretha Franklin is being laid to rest this week. How did she inspire you as a performer or singer or vocalist?
Well, firstly, being as though that she was the daughter of a preacher, and so was I. We have similarities in our backgrounds of childhood. And she played the piano in church, and I played the piano in church. She sang in the church. I sang in the church. Everything about Aretha, Miss Franklin, the queen, influenced me. Everything about her. Maybe not her personal life, because I didn't know really her personal life, but the life that she lived in front as an artist. Her songwriting, her style of singing, just everything about her influenced me. And I'm really saddened, you know, that she has transitioned on, but I also rejoice in the fact that I can imagine the choir that is up there and now they've inherited her. It's just, I loved everything about her. Still love everything about her. And just was honored that I could be exposed to her music.
Thank you, Lady Alma, for that exclusive interview. Go to WCLK.com to get information about her and her Atlanta appearance this Labor Day weekend.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Family Health Centers of Georgia and Toyota, presenting The Sounds of Good Medicine on Saturday, September 8th at 7 p.m. at the Mabel House Barnes Amphitheater. This evening of smooth jazz features performances by Jonathan Butler, Huge Groove, Peter White, and Michael Franks. Ticket information is available at the Mabel House Barnes Amphitheater or at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
No gun control, no students. No gun control, no students.
They passed the law. The teachers have to carry guns to school now.
What?
Why? The shooting.
Man, get back to your post. I'll take Ms. Davis to her classroom.
You just heard a snippet from the new independent film Social Conflict, produced by and starring Brownstone singer Nikki Gilbert. The film is centered on a Detroit high school that is thrust into the national spotlight after an unthinkable tragedy occurs. The film also explores several hot-button issues that have dominated headlines, including gun violence, sexual abuse, and the educational system in America. Check out our conversation where we discuss the film, along with Michael Jackson and much more.
Nikki Gilbert, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am wonderful, and thank you for having me, Ray Cornelius. I am here with the Ray Cornelius.
Well, you know, we've been trying to get you in here. I've seen you after that, but saw you at Essence.
Yes.
And the show, we had just started up front, and I was like, hey, got to get you on the show, blah, blah, blah. Then it was like, been seeing you around. It's like, we go get you on the show.
Yes.
We go get you on the show.
And you finally kept your word.
We finally got you in here.
Yes.
Congratulations. You have
thank
this amazing
you.
New film, Social Conflict,
yes.
Which is kind of touring the film festival circuit. You guys just premiered here in Atlanta. Actually, you premiered in L.A. because I saw
we
that.
Well, right? The official premiere was actually Atlanta. In L.A., okay. It was a very intimate screening, okay. For friends, which we're doing one in Atlanta,
yeah.
For you and
okay.
Some other folks,
okay.
You know. But that was more of an intimate screening. This was the first film festival screening, Bronzeland.
Yeah, which you guys did that last week. And
yes.
From what I can understand, it was just amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. So
the
let's
feedback
talk,
was great.
Let's talk about this, because when I was watching the trailer, I was like, whoa, this is a whole different Nikki We've never seen this Nicki. Yeah. How did this project come about?
You know what? It really literally came about from me just watching television and feeling overwhelmed with all of the negative news and all the negative information, and the thought that kids can't go to school today without the fear that either some child with mental issues or adult with mental issues is going to shoot them down with a gun. Mm. And what kind of country do we live in when that happens? And then I saw, not to, you know, bring up too much of a downer, but I saw the R. Kelly stuff, and I saw that people just did not care about what R. Kelly did in his past. It was just about, as long as his music brings me some sort of feeling, I don't care about those horrible, awful things that he had done to women. I looked at the Kanye situation. I just became overwhelmed. I unplugged and I started to write. And Social Conflict, which addresses most of those issues I just named, mm-hmm. is what was born from that moment of just unplugging from social. I think it was like 40 days. I was like, I can't take any more in. And I got creative, and this is what happened.
Wow. Now, you're also not just producing this, but you're starring in this. Because, again, I saw the trailer and I was like, wow, you know, this ain't the Nicki Gilbert.
No.
But you're kind of one of the lead characters in this, right?
Yes. I play a character called Charmaine Davis, and Charmaine is actually named after Maxie, my sister.
Okay.
May she forever rest in paradise. This character is different than anything I've ever done. Ain't no glam, ain't no extra.
Yeah.
It is just raw emotion, and she plays a woman who is the mother of the shooter.
Okay.
So we never see the perspective of the family members and the mothers of the people who commit these crimes. And when she discovers why her son shot the teacher, oh boy.
Mm.
Oh boy, yeah. So many issues in this film. And I wanted to play a character. I wanted this to be that thing that showed people that I am truly a multi-hyphenate. I think because I've been involved behind the scenes so much. At first it was, oh, take me seriously. I'm not just a singer. You know what I mean? And then it was like, I'm a producer too. So then I produced. And now it's like, take me seriously. I'm an actress. So I think that multi-hyphenate thing, this really kind of nails it all. I wrote it. You know, I produced it. I'm starring in one of the starring roles in it. So hopefully people are happy. I sing the soundtrack for it. You know, so hopefully people are really happy with what they see. I'm really proud of it. And I feel like it hopefully will remove me from that sort of reality TV thing and remind people that I did do Martin and I did do Living Single and I did tour with Tyler Perry and I am a comedic actor. You know what I'm saying? So I really wanted to unplug from that reality space, even from the producer space, and just be talent, and I love it. 'Cause I'm not giving up. No way. No, I'm not giving up. No way. I'm not giving up. No way. Tomorrow's on the way. Ooh, sometimes it's way too much to handle.
Now that was a snippet of a song that you just released, I'm Not Giving Up. And, you know, we were talking offline about how timing is everything. And you released this song right as we have experienced another senseless shooting, the Madden Jacksonville shooting that took place this past weekend. And you sort of kind of almost released this around the same time, like, yo, when is this going to stop? And this song is addressing the issues of the shooting and violence and, like you said, so many of the other issues that are happening within the film. When is enough going to be enough? When do you think that we're really going to get sick and tired of another shooting, whether it's in a school or in a public place?
I think we're sick and tired already. I think enough is already enough. I think the thing that is going to cause people to act is really having an idea about what the solution for that is. I think we start to politicize these things. Oh, no guns. No, that at the end of the day, if you walk into a space where innocent young people are just trying to be educated or have fun and you kill them, that is a mental health issue. And I saw where Betsy DeVos was talking about potentially federally funding, you know, guns in schools for teachers. I don't know how real that is, but it was all over the place. And what I have to say to that is, rather than fund guns, why not fund mental health counselors, finding out what the root of these issues are, really teaching kids about bullying and the effects of that? Because a child is not just born that way. something happens along the way, you know? And I'm not a therapist, but I think that enough has been enough for a long time. And I think that we really need to stop politicizing everything and really address these social conflicts, no pun intended,
right,
and these social issues that are causing all of these conflicts, and encourage people to not give up, to not decide, I'm just going to go kill people, or I'm going to go kill myself. That's hate. That's fear. Those are things that we can fix if we address the real issues and not the ones that are about money and politics and BS.
Yeah. Now I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
But I think I think I already know what you're going to say. Are there going to be any maybe town hall meetings or any type of open forums that are attached to the film where people can come and discuss these issues in sort of like a public town hall manner?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So really quickly, I want to plug that in addition to gun violence, we address the issue of sexual assault, which is the root cause of the gun violence.
Okay.
I gave that away. We also address gender inequality, which is another issue. All those things connected. So we will absolutely, after every screening, we're doing, you know, it's an undertaking when you are producing your own thing and it's strictly independent. We put our own money, our own resources behind this. So our goal is to get into colleges and schools and universities and communities and share this film and then have a Q&A talk back. The director of this film was the victim of sexual assault by our music teacher. I shot this film at my old high school.
Oh, wow.
And this is partially based on his story. Music teacher molested several young men. We recently found out about it. He's gone now, but that was the reason the child went to school and shot the music teacher. But we don't know that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So we talk about all those issues that affect us. And as well, the song, I'm Not Giving Up, I'm Not Giving Up, we're launching an I'm Not Giving Up campaign. So basically what it is just you taking a pledge. My name is Ray Cornelius and I'm not giving up on equality. My name is Nikki Gilbert. I'm not giving up on the angry black woman stereotype or the fight against. So whatever it is that you're fighting against, mm-hmm, I am not giving up on my fight against. And we're asking people to support the campaign, to support the town halls, to support the conversations, because we cannot come up with a solution until we have very real conversations about it. And it's deep and it's dark, but we have to have the talk.
Yeah. Necessary. Let's talk about some lighter things that have been happening with you. So I'm flipping through I'm lying. They sent me the trailer and I'm listening and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Really? Owen's got Brownstone?
Yep.
On what is this? Love Is?
That was
the opening song. So how did that even come about? Because I was just like, and it was perfect. That was the perfect, you know, sort of theme song to kind of get people's attention and get people interested in the show.
You know what? It's crazy. First there was Tory Lanez. Well, first there was Brownstone. Hello.
Yeah.
And then there was Tory Lanez. And then there was Oprah and Mara Brock. I couldn't be more happy about that. It was just a song. Mara was like, hey, this song positively impacted my life, played a very important role, you know, in her love of 90s music and is on her featured playlist. You know what I'm saying? And that just said to me that what's real speaks to the heart. What is real talent and classic soul music is going to last forever, you know, and it just makes me really proud of having created content 25 years. We are 25 year anniversary is January 10th of next year.
Wow.
So we've been in this business for 25 years. That record has lived longer than a lot of people have been here.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that Gordon Chambers, Dave Hall, myself, Brownstone came together and created magic. And that magic is truly lasting a lifetime, which is crazy because that's somebody's lifetime.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's 25 years.
Yeah, that's
you know?
A life.
And I'm grateful for that. And Oprah, I'm like, I've worked with Tyler Perry, I've worked with Queen Latifah, I've worked with Michael Jackson, I've worked with everybody. So to get close, and even though Oprah didn't say Nikki, she didn't say, hey, Brownstone, the fact that she retweeted a Brownstone song and she has it in one of her shows is close enough for me.
Yeah.
And she is one of my most favorite spirits on this planet. So.
Wow.
That was huge.
Yeah.
And Mara ain't no joke either. So,
yeah. And it has been renewed for a second season. So,
hey.
Yeah. So we're really excited about
that. We like that too.
Now, speaking of Michael Jackson, you guys got an opportunity. You ladies, I should say, got an opportunity to work very closely with him. You were on his label.
Yes.
And we're celebrating his birthday this week. So what is your fondest memory of the King of Pop?
Same one all the time. Just being really nervous about meeting him at one, you know, and just
Well, first of all, my fondest memory is the day that we found out that it was actually Michael Jackson who was signing us, because they did not tell us. We performed in a dark conference room. We didn't know who was in that room. They said, go in, sing your song, leave. That's a whole nother thing. So we went in. It was stranded in the desert, prayer, all kinds of crazy things happened leading to that event. But to hear that he was going to sign us was the most favorite moment. The second most favorite moment was then I went to the Havenhurst house and I saw like all their pictures, and for Christmas we were invited, which was amazing. And then the other one was when he said to us, I was like, I'm so nervous. And he was like, don't be. We signed you because you were great. Be great.
Wow.
The one sort of thing, he didn't say much to me.
Yeah.
But the one thing he did say in that moment, right before we took this iconic picture in my eyes, was, yeah, don't be afraid, be great. We signed you that because that's what you were. You know what I mean? So that's big. When Michael Jackson tells you something like that, what choice do you have to do to take or make?
Yeah.
Except to go try to be great.
Exactly. Wow. So we all know that you're from the Big D, Detroit.
Yes, and, Detroit versus everybody, honey.
And we lost one of our, biggest music stars, Aretha Franklin, who will be eulogized this week. What is your fondest memory of Aretha?
Ooh, okay. I've met Aretha on it. There are a few people that make me like, oh my goodness. Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, Glass Knight. Like, listen, you just can't come into the room with them and just be yourself.
Yeah.
You have to humble yourself and come in with a spirit of humility.
Yeah.
That is the queen. And being from Detroit, being a woman with a big voice and a big mouth and a big body and a big personality, it made me feel so validated. It made me feel like it was okay to be from the hood. It was okay to have that big sound and, you know, to demand respect and know that your talent could take you places. And Aretha Franklin gave me that. You know what I mean? My mom used to practice to Aretha Franklin all the time. So my development as an artist, subconsciously, just hearing those Aretha Franklin songs was a huge part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that we can create legacy that great. Well, let me rephrase that. She can create legacy that great, that can inspire us to create our own legacies that can be great. Is amazing. Aretha Franklin is the best of the best, and it's disappointing that we've lost so many of our, we lost our prince, we lost our princess, we lost our king, we lost our queen. But the great thing about their legacies is that there's room for the next generation of kings and queens and princes, and I hope that they refer to those amazing legacies and build like they built and not try to do it the old fast Instagram way, because that's not going to work. And the other thing we don't want to do is we don't want other cultures that take those legacies more seriously than we do and develop their crafts and perfect their crafts and all that, going up there taking away all those opportunities from our own. And often that happens because we don't do the work, and they do. They study. Yeah. You got to study and develop.
All right. That's the gospel according to Miss Nikki Gilbert.
I'm just talking.
We're talking social issues. Thank you so much, Nikki Gilbert, for being a guest here on Upfront. We so appreciate you coming by and talking about social conflict. For more information about the film, you can check that out at WCLK.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Tina Lifford, Twinkie Bird, Muta Ali, Lisa Arendelle, Lady Alma, and Nikki Gilbert. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 8th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. You can also follow us on Instagram at UpfrontTheShow. That's at UpfrontTheShow. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.